This call is being recorded.
Good evening. This is John Richardson. I'm speaking with you from Toronto, Canada. It's Thursday, April the 15th. And there's been a lot going on in the world of LSAT these days, both LSAT prep and the format of the LSAT. And I understand that in order to accommodate all of the public health concerns, that LSAT has modified the administration of it for at least the next test and possibly more, called LSAT Flex, which I understand is a somewhat shorter test. But I've got here with me tonight Steve Schwartz, who's a frequent contributor to the LSAT Study Group on Facebook, who has written a number of posts about this and is going to take us through this and highlight some of the things that you must know. So good evening, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. So for a long time, as far as I can tell, after all the public health concerns began, it wasn't too clear what LSAT was going to do, whether they were going to cancel the April LSAT, the May LSAT, cancel the LSAT indefinitely, or whatever. But the answer seems to have come last week in the form of this thing called LSAT Flex. Have I got that correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so let's begin with what was LSAT trying to achieve by inventing this LSAT Flex thing? We'll start there and then talk about how it may be different.
Well, LSAC developed the LSAT Flex because they could not administer the LSAT in person for the March LSAT or the April LSAT, but the show must go on. Applicants want to take the LSAT, they want to apply to law school, and law schools need applicants. And so this was a way for LSAC to work around the fact they could not administer it in person, at least for the short term.
Well, I'm kind of impressed they were able to come out with this so quickly. Because my impression of LSAT going back many, many years is that it moves rather slowly and is not really a quick responder to much of anything. Is that your experience with the history of them?
Yes, that is true. And I was actually quite impressed they were able to roll it out so quickly also. I think that I was expecting it to be maybe by July at the earliest, but they've got this out by May. So I'm pretty excited about that. I think this speaks to the fact that LSAC is serving the needs of law schools in particular, helping them get applicants. LSAC also faces additional pressure from the GRE, which recently moved to at-home online testing as well. And so to compete, that of course sparks innovation.
Am I right in saying that GMAT has also moved to home testing?
Yes, the GMAT has also moved at home.
Wow, that is absolutely incredible. So you can now take these tests in familiar surroundings. Well, of course, the first thing was moving it to a tablet-based thing instead of a written format or a paper-based format. So this has been a pretty exciting and interesting year for people doing the LSAT. Okay, so give me the Reader's Digest version of what this thing actually is and why even call it something different. Why call it LSAT Flex?
Sure. Well, to start with, I think they've got to call it something different just to distinguish it from the old school in-person paper and pencil LSAT. Then you have the digital tablet LSAT. So calling this one digital also might be a little bit confusing. I suppose they could have called this the online LSAT or the at-home LSAT. But they chose to go with LSAT Flex, perhaps to give it a startup-y tech kind of innovative name, a little bit of branding there, and to communicate to law schools as well that they are at the forefront of change and they are being adaptive and flexible. So I think that was part of the idea for the name. As for what this LSAT Flex actually is, it is an at-home online LSAT. The biggest change, though, is that it is three sections, not five. There is no experimental section on the LSAT Flex, and there is only one section of logical reasoning rather than two sections, giving students the chance to be done with the LSAT Flex in about 2 hours.
Well, you know, there will be some people, I think, who will feel they're not getting their money's worth with fewer questions. Is that your view of it?
Well, I doubt law school applicants want a longer exam. I think, if anything, it's a more pleasant experience to be doing it at home and to be doing only three sections rather than five. And we can get into this, but I think some applicants will be disappointed with this if they are relatively stronger in logical reasoning, given that logical reasoning has gone from being half of the scored questions to only being one third of the exam instead.
Okay, so as far as distribution of questions, logic games would be how many questions?
Logic games is approximately one quarter of the exam for the traditional in-person administration. Now it's approximately one third. In practice, it's slightly less than that because it's typically 23 questions on average rather than 25.
Okay, so 23 in reading comprehension?
Reading comprehension, just as with the in-person, is typically around 27 questions, so slightly more than one-third of the LSAT flex.
Okay, and the logical reasoning?
Logical reasoning, about one-third exactly, about 25 questions, and the overall LSAT flex will be approximately 75 questions.
Have they committed to the same number of questions in each section?
Not precisely. They say approximately to give themselves some wiggle room. And my interpretation of that is the approximately even number of questions per section allows for them to go with the traditional number of questions per section. Again, logic games around 23, logical reasoning around 25, and reading comprehension around 27.
Well, that is, you know, that is significantly less time than the test was even a few years ago when the writing sample was done as part of the testing experience as well.
It seems the exam is getting shorter and shorter.
Well, it's been cut in half.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of the experience, and that's going to be good for a certain type of person. That is for sure. Now, what about the time of day? Is there flexibility on this or how does it work?
There does appear to be flexibility regarding the time of day. LSAC announced today that it will be administered on May 18th and May 19th, and students will be able to book a time. And so I imagine that morning people will be able to choose a morning time, afternoon people will be able to choose an afternoon time. And I'm not sure about this, but it would be nice if they also allowed evening times for night owls and those who like to work better in the evening.
Well, this certainly is highlighting possibilities for the future, doesn't it? You know, have your dinner and spend the evening doing an LSAT, for example.
Yeah, it does. And what I'm especially excited about is the possibility of eventually offering this internationally as well to students overseas, since the situation there may be difficult also to administer in person. And then it accounts for time changes and time differences. People could be taking it at midnight local time potentially.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that all of this, you know, the sort of forced online interaction, which we're seeing now in so many industries, may end up expanding people's markets a great, great deal. It certainly makes it easier for LSAT to expand internationally. I don't know how aggressive they are at the moment, but there have been times over the history of the test where, you know, they have been rather focused on international expansion. We still have the Spanish version of the LSAT?
Yes, the Spanish LSAT in Puerto Rico. You also have the LSAT India, as I'm sure you're aware. They've done a lot of marketing overseas at times. I think their focus lately has shifted to the digital tablet LSAT transition and now this LSAT Flex. But once the coronavirus situation cools down a bit, I imagine they'll continue looking for growth opportunities. And moving the LSAT India online, for example, could open up an entirely new market for them and help them deepen their focus there.
Well, I think that's exactly right. I think it'll make it a lot easier to integrate it into law school admissions in other countries as well. I mean, I'm wondering if, you know, after having done this once or twice for April or May and July or something, if they'll ever go back to what it was. I mean, because I think that the, you know, the advantage to LSAT may be so great.
That's my prediction as well. They initially said that they were looking to do this only when the public health situation required it. But I've seen a slight shift in the wording on their website indicating an openness to potentially continuing LSAT Flex beyond the coronavirus situation. And I don't see why not. The logistical benefits would be enormous. They had a number of issues getting tablets across the country, across North America altogether. A lot of tablets malfunctioned and didn't work properly. And for applicants as well, a lot of them wouldn't be able to book test centers locally. They'd have to take flights or drive long distances or stay in hotels overnight. And this removes all of those problems.
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, the LSAT has been a huge, huge financial and emotional investment for people over the years. But, you know, you add that whole travel component, and I think that people are probably, it probably disadvantages people who can't sleep in their own bed the night before. That would be my guess. Now, let me ask you this. You know, when I was teaching LSAT, I used to see the experimental section as an advantage for a certain type of person. You know, the type of person with sort of excess nervous energy and worry. Because knowing that one section was experimental, you know, if they did really poorly on one, they could just say to themselves, well, you know, obviously that was the experimental. But now we're in a situation where every question counts. How do you see that as impacting test takers psychologically?
Yeah, I could see it adding an additional layer of stress, knowing that every question counts and each question counts more than it would have otherwise. But alternatively, we're removing a lot of the endurance factor. So rather than doing five sections and having your brain fried by the end, you're done in 2 hours, shorter than some feature length films. I think this simply requires a bit more of a warm up prior to starting. You have no time to get warmed up on section one when it counts and there's only three sections. So I would encourage students, as I would before, do a game prior, do a passage prior, or a couple of logical reasoning questions, just so the first questions you're doing on the scored LSAT aren't the ones that count.
How are they managing the security on this thing?
So they're using a company called ProctorU, which is actually the same company that's handling testing security for the GRE and the GMAT, as well as even high school advanced placement exams. So to me, ProctorU is the real winner in all of this because they're profiting from all of the exams moving online, at least the ones that I mentioned. And so they're monitoring applicants with a webcam and a microphone. They're looking at the space in which you're taking the exam. And so you want to, anyone taking this should make sure that their roommates, significant other, family members, and pets are all going to be out of the room for the duration of the exam, or at least they won't be interrupting you and won't be in the field of the camera potentially talking at all, because that, of course, could be a test security issue. And interestingly, ProctorU is actually also using what they call AI, who knows what that means, to monitor things like your eye movements to potentially flag cheating.
Oh my God, it sounds totally Orwellian.
It really does, yeah.
So tell me what the people in the Facebook group, I know that you've written a number of posts sort of either talking about this or talking around it. What's the attitude of retail, the people who are affected by this on the retail level, test takers, how do they feel about it?
I think a lot of test takers are confused and just looking to get all the details possible. LSAC has rolled this out pretty quickly and they've been dripping out information bit by bit. And we only found out today, for example, that logical reasoning will not be double weighted to give it equal weighting to the prior in-person LSAT. They only announced today that it's going to count as 1/3. All questions are worth the same. But I also made a poll in the group asking students, do they prefer each section to get equal weighting, or would they prefer logical reasoning to have double the weighting? And overwhelmingly, students indicated that they like the idea of each section being worth the same, no one section having inordinate weight relative to the others, which to me is actually quite a shift. So I think applicants overall seem to be happy about it, but they also still have concerns at the same time, in part simply, I think, because this is new. I mean, the LSAT has been in the same format since June 1991 with relatively few changes. But with time, applicants, I think, if the LSAT Flex does become the new normal, I think applicants will overall prefer it simply because it's a shorter testing experience. And at least in my view, the comfort of taking it in your own home, not having travel stresses or the stresses of being able to book a testing center, I think overall it's a more student-friendly experience. And I think students will be happy about it.
The logical reasoning section on the test is, I think, very, very intense, you know, because of the number of, you know, small arguments and that sort of thing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it seems like a game of dodgeball in a sense, where different things keep getting thrown at you relative to games and reading comp, where at least the questions are organized by grouping and the time you invest up front on a setup or on a passage carries through to 5 to 7 questions. So you can kind of get into a certain groove that you can't on logical reasoning. So I could certainly see how logical reasoning wouldn't speak to everybody.
Yeah, well, I think it's probably the section where if you're tired, for example, it can be very, very difficult if your mind isn't sharp to, zero in on what these arguments are really about. But this is going to be very, very interesting. So you say that the rollout of this, this most important day in history, is May 18th and May 19th. Is that what you said?
Yeah, so those are going to be the first LSAT flex administrations, yeah.
God, years ago, I went to the first game of the Toronto Blue Jays, when they opened in Toronto. I went to the Raptors' first game ever, and I almost feel like I should figure out how to take this so I could say I was there,
yeah,
along with everybody else. But I guess I'll leave that to you. Are you going to take it?
No, I'm not going to take it. This is actually not an open registration LSAT. This one in particular, the May LSAT Flex, is only open to people who were previously registered for the April LSAT. So they're limiting the number of people who could take this. And it's still going to be a lot of people because it's both the March and April LSAT registrants, at least in North America. So it's about 18,000 test takers who could take this exam. But potentially for LSAT Flex in the future, let's say if you want to take the LSAT Flex, you could register for the June 8th LSAT, because I don't see how that one's going to go forward, given that many states in the U.S.
There is no chance it's going forward.
Yeah, so the June 8th will also be canceled, and that would then be rescheduled as an LSAT Flex. So anyone who wants to take it could go for that one.
It'll be interesting to see what this my guess is, I'm betting that this is going to become the LSAT, because I think it's just easier for LSAT to manage it. I think it's to their advantage to have fewer questions on the test. Their development costs are lower. Etc. So, we'll have to see, but what do you think the chances are of this thing being permanent?
I think it's highly likely. And with all the work they invested in transitioning the LSAT from paper to digital on tablet, they were already halfway there. So it's not that much more additional work for them to make it online. I'm sure on their end, it's a ton of work, but at least they already got halfway there already. And like I said earlier, all the logistical issues that they avoid by putting it online, it's easier for everybody. So this could have been the push they needed to finally move ahead with this. And I think it's hard to go backwards on technology. So I have a hard time seeing how they wouldn't stick with this once they work out all the kinks.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. How do you think this would, advice for people preparing for the test now? You have any advice how this might change the way you prepare, the things you prepare? I mean, the test itself is the same. There's no change in terms of the question types or concepts or anything like that, right?
Correct. All the content is the same. And so I wouldn't want students to inordinately worry about the LSAT Flex versus the regular. A couple of things I would say, though. One is that logical reasoning's importance has diminished slightly, and logic games and reading comprehension have increased in importance. So I might give reading comp more attention than previous. Logic games, which in my view has always been the most perfectible section, is also worth more as well. So I would spend more time on each of those, maybe a little bit less on logical reasoning. And then the other side of this is the test day simulation experience as well. So you're doing three sections, not five. And so you want to practice also in your comfortable home environment, the same place you'll do the actual thing. And so adjust your test day simulation appropriately.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tremendous time reduction. What I'll be interested to see, and I guess there's no answer to this question, but I'm not convinced that they would necessarily value the questions the same on this because of the reduction in logical reasoning. But we'll see. We will see. How clear have they been on how this is going to be scored?
They gave a lot more clarity on this today, and they had a webinar for applicants, and I attended as well. And they emphasized that all questions would be weighted the same. So,
interesting. Okay.
Logical reasoning's importance has actually diminished, surprisingly enough. And this parallels the way the exam used to be in the 1980s, where they had three sections: games, reasoning, reading comp. And back then, each question was also worth the same. So this is a certain parallel where they've jumped ahead to do the same thing now.
Sorry, in the 80s, what did you say? It was
In the 1980s, there was a period where they had three sections of the LSAT, just like the LSAT Flex, one logic games, one logical reasoning, and one reading comprehension, each question being worth the same. So no one section was inordinately weighted, as some had hypothesized that logical reasoning might be worth double, adjusted for that. They have not done that. They're still keeping each question the same.
Yeah, that would have been the 80s prior to 1982. In 1982, they added an amazing section that was called Facts and Issues, which was a full third of the LSAT. You could train a monkey to get almost all those correct. It was absolutely unbelievable, which may be why they took it off. And I guess 91, or maybe it was 89, but there was a period there where that section was sort of the star of the show in terms of preparation. Anyway, okay, this is all very, very interesting. I'm going to bet that this is a permanent shift and that this is going to be the format of the test for years to come, primarily because I think the biggest winner here is probably LSAT in terms of their administration, their ability to market the test internationally. But I'm sure that on May 18th, there will be all kinds of discussion about this in the Facebook group. Okay. Anything you want to add before we end this for tonight?
No, I think that's pretty much it, John, but it's been a fun discussion with you. And of course, I'll be posting in the group with constant updates. And if you don't mind, I'll leave folks with some ways to reach out to me and follow my resources too.
Yeah, well, you're doing that anyway, as it stands. Okay. Well, good enough. Thanks for taking the time to chat about this. I think this is actually a very, very interesting development. And I think the history will record this as the most significant development in the LSAT, probably in the history of the test. That's my guess.
Yeah, same. And I'll continue posting updates in the group as well as on the LSAT Unplugged YouTube channel and podcast and Instagram. And folks can always feel free to message me directly as well. I'll be happy to point them in the right direction and help however I can.
Okay. And anybody listening to this obviously knows Steve because he posts on the site. But your site generally is what, LSATunplugged.com, if I got that right?
So I've got the LSAT blog website with articles and then the LSAT Unplugged YouTube channel and podcast and Instagram where I'm sharing videos and podcasts also.
Oh, my God. So any direction they look.
Yeah, everywhere.
Okay. All right, Steve. Okay. Thanks a lot for the talk. And we'll pick this up with another topic later. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, John.
Good night.